been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we're with you. Whether they lose or if they win, we will always be here. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, man, I'm excited.
You're excited? You're excited after
yeah,
that game?
Excited. Huh?
You're excited after that game?
Yeah, because listen, we're 4-1 now.
I think you got that wrong, bud.
No, we're 4-1. 4 losses, 1 win. Look at it positively. We're 4-1.
Well, you know, that's what I like about you. You always try to think of things positively, but
dude,
man,
this is horrible. This is, oh my God. The Browns.
Yeah.
Not only the Browns, but 457 passing yards to Josh McCown.
Yeah, that dude made history.
Are you kidding me?
450 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, and no interceptions in a single game. So now he's in the NFL history books.
I'm at loss for his dude because I don't know anymore. You score 30 points in offense and lose a football game at home to the Browns. I can't get mad anymore. This team is just, it's comical this year, man. This is, I don't know. I've never been a part of something so bad.
The Ravens have definitely been bad in the past, but this is so different because this is the first time, you know, we've seen John Harbaugh in the Harbaugh era kind of go against this. But it's really weird because every single game we watch, it's down to the wire. It's not like they're being blown out by anybody. It's not 44-0 or something. I mean, they're there, neck and neck along the way, but they just can't finish a game.
No, and they've had the lead in every single stinking game. Every game, especially in the last. They had an opportunity to win the game 3 out of the last 4. You're 3rd and goal on the 5-yard line and miss, and you can't punch it in. I told everybody in the stadium around me, I said, if they don't go for this, they're going to lose the game. At that point, you're 1-3, late in the fourth against your division rival, 3 points down. What? I just don't get it. I'd rather go for there. I honestly, you might think this is crazy, Brandon, but I'd rather go for it. By the way, they took the Caps goal away.
Oh, really?
Yep. They were doing a review that, and there was a 0 under Washington. So
that's
apparently
crap.
They're losing, spreading to Washington.
But, that's great.
I know it's only game 2 for the Caps. We'll cover that on What the Puck with Brandon. I know that I was excited for the Caps season start, but that is right. We have other sports ramping up, so maybe our attention can be drawn away a little bit, but we still got to focus on organic for the Ravens. But it's just, I don't know anymore, man. I mean, from week 1 to now, it's like they've had the lead in every game. There's always timely things that are happening, whether it's people missing tackles, like that one where Crowell just took it to the end zone. I was baffled. Like, I sat there and watched 6 Ravens miss tackles, and I'm like, what happened to the fundamental, put your head down, lower your head, wrap the guy up, instead of this trying to reach out an arm tackle to guy? See, NFL, the guys are beasts, freaks of nature. Like, it's like trying to tackle a car at 25 miles an hour. Like, really? You're going to reach out and you're going to put your foot out or arm? No. You got to tackle that beast head on. Brandon, I'm not a football coach, but, and again, they always say armchair quarterbacks and Monday morning quarterbacks and fans know better and all that, but we're in the stands and I'm like, fans are making more sense than some of the coaching calls, like the play calls and the personnel. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, I just don't know, man. I'm at a loss of words because I just don't know anymore.
It's very weird because when they were in overtime and the offense couldn't get it done and they come off the field, I actually was like, great, now the defense is on the field, the game is over. And for me as a Ravens fan to say that is something, because the Ravens defense has been a feared commodity in the NFL. You don't want to go up against the Ravens defense. They dominate the whole unit is just a beast, and you don't mess with the Baltimore defense. But this year, you can't count on the defense to finish up at all. I mean, yes, there are problems on the offense 100%, but the defense, they don't finish games. They don't finish, like you said, they don't finish tackles. I mean, come on. You got to finish a tackle. I mean, that's a big part of the problem here. And the defense is depleted. I mean, there's no leaders. We have Terrell Suggs, who isn't on the field, isn't on the sidelines. Elvis Dumervil went out in this game. Lardarius Webb went out in this game. And then he was on the sidelines ready to go in. They didn't use him. Everything on the team. C.J. Mosley, first bad game of his career here. Really, really bad game. This defense looks inexperienced. It looks like a bunch of rookies, a bunch of college kids who don't know what they're doing. I really don't know what else to say, except these guys are either lacking discipline, lacking experience. This defense is unlike any defense I've ever seen with the Ravens. It is just the oddest thing to see.
It's the oddest thing too, man. And just looking at it, like, I listen to Harbaugh's press conference, and I'm not going, I mean, he was right on some points, but to say that it's not bad coaching, it's not like we got to coach differently, you got to coach better. We can't play differently, you got to play better. And I understand that to a certain extent, but I have to disagree with what Harbaugh's saying about, I feel like he's covering up for bad coaching or bad play calling. I think there needs to be, I mean, what happened to the Cam Cameron firing? We not to say, okay, well, we need to start firing people, but there comes a point to where, are the players just not executing because is Dean Pease just not getting it done coaching wise? Or, I mean, because, I mean, I think the offense is fine. I mean, apart from all the injuries and Steve Smith being out, and yes, there are injuries, but granted, we scored 30 points, okay? Mark Trestman's play call, when that Joe Flacco bootlegged, where he basically just walked in like you could have driven that, you could have just threw the Titanic through the rest of the end zone. Nobody was around him. It was great, and I love the Gronk spike at the end. That was classic. I think that was the highlight of the game, was Joe Flacco spiking the football. That actually was awesome. And that shows emotion. I mean, Joe was fired up. I mean, but you have a 21-9 lead at home against the Cleveland Browns and lose. It's embarrassing, and that shows that reeks. That smells. That oozes bad defense, because you're telling me that we don't – is that saying that we need to score 40 points now to win a football game? We score 30 points. You score 30 points in an NFL game, you're more than less going to win, dude. That's like the equivalent of fantasy scoring 152. Like, fantasy avid players out there would understand this, and you probably know, Brandon, that you score around 200 points in a fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to win every fantasy game you ever play.
Right.
But there's some times where you score 170 points on your fantasy squad and you still lose. It happened to me already this year. It's because you just it's like, I mean, you can't – again, I'm not comparing fantasy football and reality. It's way different. But saying this, the Ravens score 30 points. NFL, you're winning the game. I don't care. But when you're scoring 30 and giving up 35, 40 a game, it's bad. And I'm not going the fact that – well, if Justin Tucker would have made his field goal, we would have already won it. No, because apparently fate had it that he missed the kick. I mean, you can't say, well, yeah, okay, if we made the kick, okay, well, you could have said, or how about going for it on fourth down, or how about making tackles, or how about stopping him on defense? I mean, it's not coming down to his leg, his kick, his miss. Right. There's a lot of bad play going around. Yeah, the Ravens, they say they're peeved, they're ticked, they're pissed, whatever, but it's not translating. I mean, I'm seeing it. I mean, the running game was on point. But the problem is I question play calling, man, because keep it simple. That display was in my end of the end zone of the game on Sunday, man. And when they got down there, I don't know if you realize this, but do you realize that they ran the ball and gashed them the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get down to the goal line or the first and goal, they forget how to call plays, and it's like the running game don't exist, and let's pass it because we're Tom Brady's offense. Joe Flacco is not number 12, and only Tom Brady himself can probably pull those kind of plays off with his receivers. Stop trying to get on it 4 yards from the end zone, and we're trying to throw fades or trying to force the ball in there. Stop it. I'm calling out Mark Trestman now. Obviously, he's not going to be listening to the podcast. Or I don't know if he is.
I wish he did.
I'm calling him out now. It's like the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. It's the same thing. It's questionable play calling. It's why are you going to pass it in? Run the football. Keep it simple. If it's second at one, run the ball. Don't try to get cute, do a play action or throw it. That bootleg, did Joe Flacco throw it at the Juszczyk? Stop it. Like, I mean, I can understand fooling the defenses, and yeah, it worked in the first time because he did the bootleg, but stop it. Stop trying to throw a fade to Juszczyk. Yeah, he missed a fingertip touchdown, but Joe Flacco's throwing to Kyle Juszczyk. He's not throwing to Steve Smith, or he's not throwing to a Julio Jones, or he's not throwing to an Antonio Brown. He's throwing to Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback who's probably 3 inches taller than me. It's sickening. So just keep it simple and put it on the ground. And that's what sucked. It's the basically the Browns. Garrett Gooden and Ravens got out coached again, man. The Browns outplayed them. They out hustled. And they showed that he wanted it more, and we're sitting at 1-4 with a big, big glaring loss, and the season is pretty much over, man. I mean, we can already stay at the P word, playoffs ain't happening. But it's time to reassess around here and seeing what moves are going to be made. But the play, it's just, I don't know. We went from, Brandon, I can understand if we went from week one, and Peyton Manning threw 4 touchdowns on us, and it was bad from the get-go, but we barely lost that game. And you're telling me that we go from holding Peyton Manning's offense to 0 touchdowns and holding them at bay the whole game or defense to a total obliteration? This is what's sickening. This is making me frustrated because what happened? I would love to sit down with these players and ask them what happened since week one.
You know, it really is just it feels like a Twilight Zone season watching these guys, because we'll talk about it on the Purple Friday show, but this team's definitely been hit by the injury bug the last 2 seasons. I mean, it's been hard to get anything going, really, because people keep getting injured, but we'll cover that later on down the week. But you know, Joe, you brought up that awesome touchdown that he got where he pretty much just walked right into the end zone. Right. I loved it. I was like, oh, here we go. The Ravens finally got like their swagger back, like you were always talking about. These guys know what they're doing. This is going to be great. But everybody got tired. Everybody towards the end of the game just fell off the face of the earth. They just weren't playing like they were. I feel as if these guys aren't ready for 4 quarters of football. They're good for, you know, 2.5 maybe, but not a full-on 4. I think it's a lot of people being undisciplined. That's what I think. Maybe on the field and off the field. On the field, it's blatant because the Ravens get, I mean, hundreds of yards of penalties. You know, throughout the game. I mean, it's insane how much these penalties that are just blatant and stupid.
And it's stupid stuff, man. Like, lining up off sides. Like, I just don't understand how you just keep repeatedly. Like, I'm telling you, if I repeated mistakes like that in my job, I'd be unemployment, man. Like,
it's very obvious that people,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, people are not reading the playbook. They're not doing their homework. You know, Ray Lewis used to say that he used to call the plays because he knew the playbook, you know, front to back, and he could do anything out on the field. These guys are not doing their homework.
These students aren't doing their homework, and it's showing in the classroom, my friend.
It absolutely is, and that's the thing that really is terrible. I mean, I want to stick on the defense here because, I mean, like we talked about stupid penalties, everything. They don't have leadership here. I mean, Terrell Suggs gone. Chris Canny was gone for the first couple of weeks. I don't think he played this past week either. He may have. I'm not 100% sure. But Dumerville going out halfway through the game. Lardarius Webb just, I mean, not playing well, but not let alone like being off the field for an injury or whatever, but just not playing well. There's nobody with any kind of experience experience on that side of the ball, really. There's people with 1 or 2 years, and that's it. And the secondary is pretty much made up of scabs, pretty much. It's players that couldn't hack it in other parts of the NFL, either went to free agency or just kind of went home and did their normal day-to-day jobs and got a call from the Ravens telling them to come back and play football again. This is not – there is no depth to the defense at all. The guys that were brought in from New England and from Houston to beef up the secondary are worthless, really just terrible. And the two shining lights really on the defense that aren't full-time veterans, Will Hill and CJ Mosley, they didn't bring it on Sunday either. I feel as if everyone was looking past the Browns and looking onto the 49ers.
I don't even think that's it, because the Niners are horrible, and there's a and we'll get down the Purple Friday preview, but there's bad football going on, and it's not just the Ravens, but
no,
it's crazy, because we've been in every game. You have the talent to win. We have the personnel to win. It's like one or two things. It's like if we can just make tackles, or if they just hover correctly. Like it's fundamentals. It's not like it's we're getting blown out. I mean, I'm seriously, depending on what happens this next week in San Francisco, I'm going to take a review. And I'm going to sit down and look at the box score play-by-play of each game and tell you exactly when and how deep we've had the lead in these games. I guarantee you, dude, that the lead we've had at least half the games that we lost already, if not all of them, we probably had the lead within the last 5 minutes or later in the game, like pretty much like – 2 minute warning, we close out the game, we win. And that's the difference. It's not like, I mean, we lost by 3 to, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I can't even remember, it's just a far conclusion, but we lost by 3 to Cleveland overtime. We barely beat Pittsburgh. Remember, that's 2 straight overtime games. I mean, it's just, the stuff's, it's just annoying, man, because it's the same things every week. If you listen to our reviews here, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's probably a broken record at this point. It's, okay, we're talking about missing tackles. We're talking about poor coverage. We're talking about poor play calling. It's the same things. It's not like every game's different to where, oh, well, Joe Flacco threw 5 picks this week, or Justin Forsett fumbled it twice and it led to turnovers, or we got stomped and we couldn't figure out how to cover it. It was like, no matter – it's the same things every week. It's penalties. You can start writing these down, dude. It's penalties, it's missed tackles, it's poor coverage, and poor decision-making in the play-calling system. So it's – and they did a great thing, because Cleveland had all 3 timeouts, Brandon. The Ravens were driving. They had the best clock management. I actually was getting turned on, dude, because I was like, are you kidding me?
I wouldn't tell people that.
No, I was just saying, because I was like, are you kidding me? They're actually doing something right. Like, we're going to win a football game correctly. Like, they – Cleveland didn't use their timeouts. They didn't, and then all of a sudden it was just like, no, they go down there and didn't score. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, no, I'm over it, man. It's just, Lily, I got mad when we kicked that field goal. I smacked my chair so hard to the stadium, I thought I broke it. I'm like, and Mary's like, why are you so sad? We tied. I said, no, because that just lost us the game. We should have went for it. And I said, I'd rather lose and be 1-4, saying, you know what? We showed the gall to go for it and say, we're not afraid of the records. We're not afraid of the season. But I think when they do that and they call those kind of plays and they play prevent defense and they play to go to overtime, yeah, it's a smart football decision and it's a smart play call. And probably 99.9% of any football coaches or any scenario say kick the field goal and go to overtime. But I tell you what, you're 1-3 with really nothing to lose at this point. Why not go for it? Why not show, hey, it's like, you know what it equates to? And this is what I'm going to bring up. It equates, I'm bringing this up right now. You ready?
All right.
I'm equating the Ravens season to dating 101. You know why?
Okay.
You know why?
Let's hear it.
Because here's the thing. Going forward on 4th and goal at the 5, with basically the game on the line, is like going up to the hottest girl at the party, saying, hey, look, babe, I'm taking you out, and you're going to, and putting it out there, and not being shy and tiptoeing around it and going, well, I'm going to go talk to this person because I don't think I'm worthy of that. That's what kicking the field goal is like to me. It's, right. Oh, I'm not – I'm going to just slide on by because I want to save myself the embarrassment of getting let down. So I'm going to go over here and talk to the lesser one. No.
I just figured out why I'm single, too.
You taking field goals at the goal line? Is that what you're doing? but that's probably why I'm single. I'm the Justin Tucker of it. But yeah, that's another podcast. but anyway, here's the thing, and then I equivalate this whole thing like a marriage. You know, we're diehard. You know, we're true blue to the death. We're not quitting on our team. But you know how it is. Yes, the Ravens didn't cheat like the Patriots cheated. Obviously, once you cheer, always cheer, right?
Right. Patriots are looking pretty good this year. I don't know. I mean, are people been checking those footballs this year?
Regardless, side note, they've been playing phenomenal football, and I think they're going to go undefeated and repeat as champions. There's nobody to stop them.
Yeah.
I mean, the AFC's pretty dudville. It has to be a good NFC team to take them down. But with all regards is – it's like this, you know, obviously you forgive and forget. We forgive them what they do, but we're never going to quit on them and die on them. But it's just like, at what point do you just have to look at the problem and find out what does need to be corrected. But I don't know if it's a coaching issue. I don't know if it's it starts at the head coach. I can't pinpoint that because I'm not in the locker room. I don't hear the voices. I don't hear the chatter. I would love to know, but with all that being said, I really don't know, but 1-4 against the Browns, losing again, I don't know anymore, man. It's really hard for me to determine because I can't put my finger on what's wrong. I really can't.
I think it's a lot of inexperience. I think it's a lack of leadership. I think it's bad coaching. I will say this, though, with this Browns game. Again, you know I'm not a big fan of Mark Trestman. I don't think he's done a really good job here. But I did love Joe Flacco's two touchdowns. I thought they were well done. I thought Joe did a great job. I thought that was the right call at the time. Kelechi Osemele finally showing up this year and in a good way, not for stupid penalties. He did a great job this past week. Eugene Monroe came back, which was awesome.
The line was great, man.
Line was great.
I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, the O-line was awesome. And going hand-in-hand with that, the running game was able to get going now that the offensive line has got their head on straight. So that was another great thing to see. Forsett leaving the game a little early, that's not good to see. But anyway, Joe, the offensive line, and the running game, I thought was like the shining light of this game. You know, and while in a world full of bad stuff, they actually put together a pretty good performance.
They did, man. I mean, the running game was on point again this week. I mean, they were running with authority. They were blocking. I mean, if any bright spot, there's any game balls or any bright spot to be had, it's quite a line. It wasn't really under duress. There were some obvious sacks there, and he took a couple of hits, and he was under duress, but it wasn't to the point to where we couldn't go make plays. I mean, and I don't know if it was a game plan issue or personnel issue, but Kamari Aiken stepped up in the first half. I was like, this dude catching balls down the field, and then the dude disappeared. Second half, you didn't hear from him. And Marlon Brown's got to go. He's garbage. I mean, can't catch the ball. It's bad, dude. Bad.
Well, I think that year off with the Gary Kubiak system really hurt Marlon Brown. 2 years ago, I was like, man, we are fine. This guy's here. It was okay that we let Bolden go because we got Marlon Brown. Now looking at it, I think it's kind of interesting. Again, we'll talk about some of the additions and everything on the Purple Friday preview. But signed to the practice squad was Daniel Brown, a wide receiver who really showed up in the last two preseason games.
I have to say, too, speaking of that, Jeremy Ross, wow.
Yes, that was my next question I wanted to bring up to you.
That was a performance. We found our kick returner, and this guy was making some plays in the offense. I like this guy. Keep him on the 53-man roster, please.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to bring up. You know, Marlon Brown with the addition of Jeremy Ross, with Daniel Brown being signed to the practice squad, there's some potential of somebody in the wide receiver mix moving on. And as much as it pains me to say this for a guy that I really enjoyed watching the last 2 years ago, Marlon Brown might be the guy that has to go because really he has had just a terrible season. He is not looking good in any way. And it's as if he's got butterfingers. You remember in The Replacements? What was the one dude, Orlando? Orlando Jones, I think that's what his name was. He couldn't catch the ball. He had speed and everything else.
It was horrible.
But just couldn't catch it. That's what I think Marlon Brown is like right now.
I don't know, man. I mean, it sucks because it's like, and the guy behind me at the game said that too. It's like, what it goes through these coaches to where they're putting the wrong personnel on the line. I mean, Marlon Brown, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that, you know, if this was Alabama football or college football and it's Nick Saban's team, or, you know, if this was Bill Belichick's team, I guarantee you Marlon Brown is starting on the Patriots and Bill Belichick's running the ship. I tell you that right now. I mean, not to say Harbaugh, it's his fault or he's doing a great job, but at what point do you condone bad play to where you have to start benching players and go, all right, you suck, you're sitting down, or let somebody else take your job? I mean, I just don't understand why he's still a starter. It's just beyond me, man.
Yeah, I think, like we were talking about when I was really sick during the preseason, I'd like to see him move over to like a tight end position where, you know, Marlon Brown isn't supposed to be stretching the field. He's not supposed to be one of those wide receivers. He doesn't have that skill set. But short, quick passes, I think he would excel better there. But
you know what he needs to be doing stretching? He needs to be up on the couch stretching his legs on the ottoman and watching Sunday afternoon football.
Damn.
I'm calling people out. I'm done, man. It's 1-4. It's time to start putting the axe to people. It's I want to start going Mike Myers on these fools. I'm telling you, man.
All right, well,
it's Halloween season. I'm telling you, I don't know what to do. I mean, I still love them. I'm still having fun watching the games. Going, I mean, tailgating was a blast. We had a blast. Had a blast going to game. There's a lot of fans there. We had fun. But it's just like, I mean, yeah, we expect them to play better. Of course, you know who doesn't. Do we expect them to win every football game? Absolutely not. But when it's just the same, like I said, the effort. Same mistakes over and over again.
That's what we expect every game is effort, and we're not seeing that from the Ravens.
No, and I'm not seeing Ravens effort. Like, I'm seeing, like, old Cleveland Browns effort. Or like pick out some of the bad teams out there, like, that are just perennial bad teams. Like, it's just, like, I'm seeing bad play. Like, the plays that the Browns are making, like, tight end wide open in the middle of the field, and McCown throwing for 400 yards, and people making plays down the field. Like they left Travis. It was third down and long. I remember it was third and 10. And the crowd's up. It's 112 something decibels on the meter. And McCown scrambles, points, and he throws a 40-yard bomb to Travis Benjamin, standing there, like, basically
wide open.
Wide open as the day is long. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I would love to find out who's covering who, what kind of defense they're calling. It's just bad. I just don't understand it. It's bad. It's bad.
And you know what's also just terrible is the dude got cut today, Babin. Not even here that long. He gets this huge penalty. You know, what was it? Hands to the face, and he goes over to Harbaugh, and you probably didn't see it because you were there. Harbaugh is yelling at Babin, and he's not yelling back at the coach, but he's definitely back talking the coach. And when I saw that, I was like, ooh, I'm like, dude, you might want to chill out. You know, Harbaugh in this kind of mood is not the nicest guy. You don't know what's going to happen, and here we are a couple days later, and he's no longer on the team.
That's right, he got cut, and that's bad, because I expected more of him. I mean, and yeah, he wasn't going to be the all pro you know, prime studly stud that he used to be, but I expected, you know, a good amount of fair play from him. But the guy didn't get on the field for the first two games, and when he comes in, he just creates stupid penalties. He was a disruption, and it was time to cut ties. And a huge loss. We lost Will Davis.
Yes.
I really can't. That was the X factor, man. And losing him, it just adds to it. Like, really? I mean, you already got Steve Smith out. Davis is out. It's dire. And luckily, Forsett's okay, but that didn't look too promising when it happened. So, excuse me, Brandon. All in all, it's injury plague, bad play. But yeah, Babin, that was bad. And yeah, you're right. You can't backtalk the coach. It's a respect thing. And I'm happy to see Babin go. Just didn't pan out. Didn't work out. It was just bad play all around.
Yeah, and for you to come in and not know the book, the playbook for 2 weeks, and show up late, and it's just terrible.
And speaking of terrible, I never complain about the refs for calls because it's just I'm not going to go there. But how terrible were the calls on Sunday? To the point to where when not two challenges, but two consecutive plays, Harbaugh throws a challenge play and gets overturned. How horrible was that game called?
It's I don't know if you've noticed it, but all around the entire NFL, the refs have been just terrible. They've been overly sensitive. In every single game in the NFL recently, it's been kind of crazy how much these guys are throwing flags in the air and calling stuff. Because you look at some penalties and you're like, all right, I can understand why you called that. But other ones you look at and you're like, come on, that was barely, do you remember in the preseason game where Suggs was called for roughing the passer when the quarterback was no longer a passer? He was handing off the ball and he was running with it. You know, it was you can't call roughing the passer if the dude's not a passer. But it was quarterback, and they're the ones making you money and everything, so you're gonna call everything on them to keep them healthy. It's frustrating as a fan to see the refs are being highly sensitive to this. I think it's a PR move. It's an NFL saying, you know, we got to call everything now. Nothing can slide. It's crazy how sensitive these guys have gotten.
Dude, it's very sensitive, and it's to the point to where I watch a college football game, and I'm like, oh, this game's clean. These guys are playing the game right, and the refs aren't calling stupid ticky-tacky calls. I mean, you're right. I agree with you 100%. If there's a call to where – my whole thing is it's like – I love it how they all, like, throw a flag, and then they'll all talk about it. Like, they all converse, like, what'd you see? I don't know, what'd you see? It's like, if it's not definitive, don't throw the flag. And don't throw the flag and pick it up, because obviously you wouldn't have thrown it in the first place and you saw something. Like, that drives me up a wall, too. I'm like, some calls don't warrant that, but they'll throw a flag and then go, oh, there's no foul for blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, seriously? Like, then why'd you throw it? So... yeah, I mean, I don't know if they need to be looked at, scrutinized, or – and I noticed it. And no offense to any refs out there, if anybody knows them or knows any ref, I mean, respect them, because these guys, they're out there, and they're getting lit up by fan base. They're getting lit up by everybody. The coaches are in their ears, and they bust their tails running up and down the field. But if you notice, a lot of them are, like, old guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're
like,
all
there's
old.
No young refs out there. They're actually, like – that's why I'm like, maybe that's why. Maybe they're just old and grumpy and don't want to be out there no more. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that could be it. Well,
it's just, but I just noticed that around the league. What's that?
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. They're just old and grumpy. But like, we've seen the young guys come in as replacement refs, and that was definitely not any better than the old season guys.
Don't get me started on that. That was bad. That was bad. But yeah, so far, 1-4 season for the Ravens. How worse can it get?
1-5 is how bad it can get this week.
Well, we do
week.
Play a bad football team coming this weekend, and they're equally as bad. And I don't know, man, because they gave away that game, and we'll have to preview this. But, yeah, there's a team that's equally as bad, and it's pretty much – that's going to be happening this Sunday across the league, because I think the Lions and the Bears actually play each other, and I think they're all winless. So something is given on that team, but the Lions are 0-5. Can't get much worse than that, but we – got that, and the Sting and Steelers eked it out on Monday Night Football, which sucked because, you know, it's just – and in the highlight of the season, we got our first win against them on Thursday Night Football, and it just – I guess it just – it was awesome to see that. But
the stupid Steelers killed me in my football pool at work. They're stupid. They suck. They ruin,
man,
they ruin everything.
Well, we need to get back on the winning track, but, yeah, it's definitely 1-4. We're in dire straits, man.
Yeah, so have we covered everything tonight?
Oh, man, what a plateful. If not, I'm sure Ed Reed and his retirement's got it covered. I'm sure not a chance up there in Lionville, Detroit. I'm like a loss for it. Lions up there, he's got it. But back here in Baltimore, we got it to the max. Crazy for 1-4, but we're covering it to the max. Best weekend.
Yeah, at least Max Williams and Nick Boyle are looking pretty good. Maybe next year they'll be a little bit better. But anyway, if you want to continue to talk football, Baltimore Ravens football, NFL football, any kind of football, let us know. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. You'll be the first to know whenever a new show comes out. We'll post it because we've got the Red Eye review today. We've got the Purple Friday preview and the Game Day preview. My apologies for not posting that earlier on Sunday. One of the guys from Montreal actually contacted us and said, hey, I want to listen to this before the game. How come it's not posted? Guys, that was 100% on me. I worked late Saturday night, and I forgot to post it when I normally do. So 100% my fault, but luckily it came out a couple minutes before the game started. But thank you so much for telling me and reminding me that I needed to post that. But check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You'll know about our show. Any sort of photos or videos or interesting articles that we find, we'll post them for you guys to check out as well. Go to brandocash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the call, about what the puck, if you're a Caps fan, whatever you guys need out there, that's the place to go for any kind of information. You can also go to brandocash or facebook.com/brandocash. Like us over there, and we'll post photos and videos and other stuff that we've done from Brando Cash Entertainment. We are a free podcast. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, player.fm, and Overcast. You can check us out there and anywhere podcasts are available completely for free. And in return, all we ask from you guys is to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and maybe Snapchat or whatever else is out there that's cool that
or
people use.
As Belichick says, snap piece. I love it, dude. I'm telling you, Belichick's hilarious when he says something about social media because he has no clue.
Yeah,
he says snap piece, and I thought I loved snap piece.
If you're still on MySpace, let people know on there as well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else
maybe
is out there.
Maybe let Tom know. Just hide it, Tom.
Yeah. Let that everybody know, all right?
I hated that guy.
He never changed his profile picture. It was weird.
It's the same thing every time.
Yeah, for years. It was just him. And he really wanted to be in your top eight, but no one wanted him in their top eight.
But remember your friends list? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah.
If you weren't in the top, someone would let you know.
Oh, yeah. And if you took one of your friends out of the top eight, what's up, dude? How come you took me out of your top eight? I can't believe that. Whatever.
Back in the day,
exactly.
Back in the day.
But all you got to do is let people know, hey, we are 1-4.
Know,
we're Raven
you know what?
Fans. What's up?
Speaking of that, here's a joke. It's been so long since the Ravens went in, MySpace was in existence.
MySpace was popular.
Oh,
you know, I showed you on Twitter. I cut my beard and I'm now doing the Fu Manchu, and I'm bringing that back until the Ravens win.
King Ugly's coming back. Here we go with the shoes.
That's what I'm doing. But do you remember before Harbaugh came on, there was a dude downtown who was camped. It was for a restaurant or something, but he camped out on the roof of the restaurant and said he wouldn't sleep in his house until the Ravens won again.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
I was like, this dude's on point.
I remember that.
Start
yeah,
doing
yeah.
that. Nobody go to work and just sit on your roofs all day until we win.
I like it. I think that's what we got to do. I'm doing my part to bring it back. I got the Fu Manchu going. But if you want to help us out, go on all your social media accounts. Say you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. We're 1-4, but we're still sticking together. We're still Ravens Nation worldwide. And other people should listen to the call because we're helping you get through these dark times. So let people know on all your social media accounts about the Call podcast, that we're free and that we are available on all those different platforms. And if you have other podcast apps that you listen to us through, cool, man. Awesome. Let us know how you listen to us. So I think that's pretty much it for this Red Eye review of the Ravens-Browns game. Hopefully we can forget about it soon. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, I know it's sucky. I mean, it really much nothing needs to be said for 1-4. We need to get better. We need to start winning. We need some football games to make us feel good around here. I mean, playoffs are a far gone stretch. It's not virtually impossible, but hey, we still got some Ravens football. It's still Ravens season. Because before we know it's going to be December, we're going to be like, okay, where did the season go? So, got to enjoy these games. We got San Fran coming up. Super Bowl rematch. Again, it's not going to have the same pop and luster as it did before, but we need to get back on the winning ways. Everybody sit together. I know it sucks, but we're going to be all right. With that being said, we're going to fly high with our heads high this week, as Ravens always do. We're going to go into this week with a winning attitude.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.